Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our series of studies on the Christian walk, walking in newness of life. And the subject which we wish to consider today is our walk in wisdom, and it involves a new awareness. And we wish to treat our subject today under three headings: the motivation of admonition, the motivation of example, and the motivation of love. And I think we will have covered the subject quite completely under those three headings. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 these words: "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." Now, when he speaks to them, speaks of them that are without, he's speaking of the unredeemed. They're without the church, they're without Christ. And it indeed is a poverty that we do hope will not go into eternity. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, outside the fold, redeeming the time. Buying up the opportunities is a matter of fact in the New International Version. That's exactly the way that this is expressed. Buying up the opportunities, making the best use of our time, walking in wisdom toward them that are without, buying up the time, redeeming the time. Now, also, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, almost the same words. And we read there, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You see that this is almost a verbatim repetition. It seems that the Apostle Paul doesn't want us to miss this. You know, the number two is the number of emphasis. You can say a thing once, but when you say it twice, we should listen. And here he says in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." That word circumspectly is a compound word. It is composed of two words, really, melded or welded into one. Circum, looking around. Circumference is the distance around a circle. See that you walk circumspectly. Circum, around, and spectly, of course, is viewing. We have spectacles, and we view through them. Walking, looking around. I could wish that it were translated literally. See then that you walk looking around. Others are watching. The Christian is under surveillance at all times. He has a high standard. He's in Christ. And the worldling looks at him as being a supercilious, proud person, proud of his humility, maybe, perhaps. And that's not true. The Christian is just the same as anybody else. The only difference is he has seen his need of Christ. He has seen that Christ has died for his sins upon the cross of Calvary. And he's made the most of the opportunity to receive it by faith. And he rests upon the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not superior beyond that point. God gives wisdom to every man. We read that, for instance, in James chapter 1 and verse 5. I want you to hear these words. "Please, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." Now, God gives wisdom to all men around us. And he wants us indeed to be wise. And if we lack wisdom, we have just to go to the source of wisdom, and he has promised that he'll give it to us. And it's a promise of God that has never been failed, and none of the promises of God ever fail. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. You need not be afraid of God upbraiding you if you ask him for wisdom. I think of the dear little boy that wrote in the letters to God published in a very notable paper. In his letters to God, he says, "Oh, I'm so glad that you're God, for I sure wouldn't know what to do." I'd like to hug that little boy when he said that. You know, we don't know what to do. and he upbraids not. He says, come to me. If you need wisdom, come to me. And here's the promise, it shall be given him. And the word of God stands back of it. Now, we have had the wisdom to make the Lord Jesus Christ our own. And certainly that is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that God has given us through his grace, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, showing to us our need of our Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly you and I have that advantage because we accepted our Lord Jesus Christ, not because of our own merits, not because of our own wisdom. God gave the wisdom. Now, as to the motivation of example, I think the best example of this is in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 and 9. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to read with us the wisdom of a man that prepared for the future. Certainly, wisdom looks to the future. We read there of the parable of the unjust steward. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. He must have had arthritis. To beg, I am ashamed. Then he says, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And he's thinking of his customers, of his Lord. So he called everyone his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down, and write 50. Well, that was a bargain. This steward says, you, while he had the authority, and he still had the authority, sit down, and write your bill for 50. And then he goes, and he says to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And believe me, he did. Now here is a comment that almost puzzles us, but I can understand it. In verse 8, and the Lord of this steward, commended the unjust steward. Now he had just given away his goods. He had just made friends at his boss's expense. And he says, the Lord commended the unjust steward. Why? Because he had done wisely. This Lord was a rich man, and he respected people's abilities to make money. There used to be a saying, if you're so wise, why aren't you rich? Rich men are wise. And he commended the wisdom. Pretty smart. He made friends at my expense. He commends him. The Lord commends the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are, in their generation, wiser than the children of light. Now, isn't that a rebuke from the Lord himself? They are wise. They prepare for the future. The only trouble is, this man was preparing for the future. The only trouble is, he didn't go far enough. And the wise people of this world, those that are indeed gifted, and those that are indeed, shall we say, intelligent, extremely intelligent, they're wise. They provide for the future, but they don't carry it far enough. Now, the Lord has a word of admonition here to Christian people. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, this man made friends so that when he was kicked out of his stewardship, they would receive him into their houses. Now, the Lord says, you make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, money, if you please. It's not always used for righteous purposes. So that when you fail, use your means, use your talents, use your efforts, use your time, and your money if necessary, to win souls for Christ, so that when you fail, they will receive you into everlasting habitations. They'll be on the other side of Jordan waiting for you because you took the trouble to point them to Christ and show them that they could be saved. And the Lord says, now make the most of your opportunities. Now this is the motivation of example. This man is a wonderful example. And you know, I think I would be remiss if I didn't go to the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, the supposedly the wisest man in the world, where he tells us of some that prepared for the future. I'm going to read, first of all, in Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 8, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. The little ant is wise, now you be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. The wise little ant makes the most of its opportunities. Yes, it redeems the time. Now the sluggard is encouraged to do exactly the same thing. And then, in Proverbs 10 and verse 5, we read there, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Why is he a wise son? He makes the most of his opportunities. He reaps. He reaps in the summertime. Provides his food in the summer. He's looking to the future. Oh, that we might have that sense of values, the eternal sense of values that would have us carry our wisdom into the eternal future and make most of the opportunities now that we have of winning souls for Christ and of being saved ourselves, first of all, and then winning souls for Christ after we're saved. We want them to have the same blessing that we have. We read in that connection in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You've got to win souls. You can't cajole them. You can't force them. You can't high pressure them. We should tell them the gospel in all meekness, as Titus told us, as we've already read in chapter 3 and verse 2. Now, we should win souls, and we're wise when we do so. We should love those souls, and the motivation should be love. God loved them. He gave his son to die for them. Christ loved them. He died on the cross to save them. Should not we give our time, our effort, and our love to reach the dear unsaved? This should be the motive of love, the motivation of love. God help us to buy up our opportunities. Father, today we pray that you have blessed these thoughts to our hearts and help us to win souls for Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.